Tonight we're going to discuss an interesting topic about whether or not women are really obligated to hear Parshas Zachar. Now, what I mean by that is, I know what they do, or that they think they're obligated, but I want to discuss today from a strictly academic point of view, is are they really obligated? Now, again, there's nothing wrong with them coming to hear Parshas Zachar, okay? It's a beautiful thing. But the question that I want to spend some time on discussing is, are they really obligated? Meaning, is it true that they have a chiyuv to hear Parshas Zachar? One thing we can all agree on, they definitely have a chiyuv to hear Megillah. That's Kuli Alma Moide. That's the Mefarsh Gemara. The Gemara says Megillah Davdala, the Noshama Machayevis in Megillah. As Machloikish Vishainim, Taisis called Sabahag, are they Mechuyiv to hear Megillah or read Megillah? That's a different conversation. But definitely the Mechuyiv to are obligated to Megillah. The question is, what about Parsha Zoch? So when we discuss about the mitzvah of Zechiris Amalek, the Torah describes for us in the end of Kiseitse, the Torah writes, when you get into Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, only was once we moved into Eretz Yisrael. So what do you do then, says the Pasuk? Timche Zecher Amalek, should eradicate the name of Amalek, Mitachas Hashemayim, Lo Yisishkach, do not forget. Earlier on in the Parsha Zachar, the Torah says, Zachar es asher asachal hamalek. So we have two commandments. We have a positive commandment to remember, and now we have a loisase of loisishkach. That we're not only don't we have to remember Amalek, we're not allowed to forget. So we have an asay and a lav with regard to the mitzvah of Amalek. Now, there's clearly two mitzvahs here, as mentioned by all the Moini HaMitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, which is what we do Parsha Zachar, that's remembering Amalek. Then there's a totally separate mitzvah called Mechiyas Amalek, eradicating Amalek. That mitzvah, presumably, we don't have Bizman Hazeh, that active mitzvah of Timcha Zecher Amalek, but we still have the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. So according to the Psukim, we have a positive mitzvah of remembering and a lav of Loisishkach. So the question is, how often do we have to do this? How often do we have to fulfill this mitzvah of Zachar? Is this like one of the Sheish Zechiris? We're supposed to do this every single day. We're supposed to remember Amalek. When are we over the lav of Loisishkach? Don't forget. Over how many times? Is this a once in a lifetime experience? Once in your life, remember Amalek. And don't forget. How often? So there's another Gemara. In the Gemara Megillah says, in Daf Yud Ches, the Gemara makes a drasha. Zachar, Yachol Beleif. I would have thought that you could fulfill remembering Amalek in your heart. You'll wake up every morning and you'll think about Amalek. Then the Torah wrote a lav of loisishkach. No, not forgetting means in your heart. So how do you actively remember? Ho amani mikayim zocher. Says the Gemara bepeh means bepeh. There's a big machloikis rishonim whether or not bepeh means with a sefer Torah k'sheira with a minyan. But the assumption is you have to somehow verbalize it through a kriyas haTorah. Whether or not you need a sefer Torah is a different question, or a minyan, but the assumption of this Gemara is it's not just enough to say, I remember my heart, Amalek. You have to verbalize it to fulfill the assay of Zachar. That's what comes out from the Gemara. So we have a positive mitzvah to read Amalek, and that is a fulfillment of Zachar. And obviously, when you remember, you won't be over Leisishkach. Now, how much time or how often does this mitzvah have to be done? So there's another Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara writes in Nunches number 3, Gemara says an interesting bit of psychology is that a person does not forget a passing of someone for 12 months. After 12 months, the Kadosh Baruch Hu put into the Bria, Mr. Shosham discusses this at length, that the idea of Shechicha was actually a very big gift to be able to forget things. If we didn't forget things, we'd be very miserable people. We'd constantly be walking around upset and mad and harboring a lot of very bad feelings. So we have a gift called Shechicha. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the gift of forgetfulness. Although when it comes to Torah, it's not so good, but when it comes to emotions, it's very helpful. So says the Gemara, how long does a person not forget? So the Gemara says 12 months. After 12 months, a person starts to forget. So the first 12 months, a person remembers. After 12 months, he forgets. So many Mefarshim say, you see from this Gemara, that within 12 months, you don't forget. So every 12 months, you have to remind yourself of Amalek, because that's when you're going to start to forget. It says, Loisishkach, don't forget. How long does Shechicha normally take place? Says the Gemara, 12 months. So you have 12 months that you're not going to forget. So the assumption is, a person would be obligated to read Parsha Zachar once a year to ensure he's not over the lav of Loisishkach. The problem is the Ibur Yar. So what do you do with the Ibur Yar? So many people assume, in the way it's brought down by others, that the Ramshik and others, that during every year you have to read it in Kiseitze. There's a famous, I don't know how famous it is, but there's an interesting piece from the Satmar Rebbe. The Satmar Rebbe has a tshuva where he thinks the Sushtal is not even a good comparison. He thinks, how do you compare a person who lost a family member to a Amalek? A person who lost a family member needs to forget in order to move on with life. That's just part of the coping mechanism that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the world. So that taka takes 12 months. But something like a Amalek Fakeret, he thinks Lois Yishkach is more frequent. You can't afford to forget it. Maybe every day he talks about, that's not something that in the Bria you're supposed to forget about. A person who lost a family member, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the Bria that you should forget it after 12 months. But this is not necessarily a comparison to something like a Amalek where it's a different type of forgetfulness. Okay, that's the Satmar Rebbe Shtickle Torah. So yeah, I think next year's a leap year, right? I think next year we have to have this conversation. This year we don't have to have this conversation. So according to the Gemara, you have to remember, you have to read Amalek once a year. Not for the Aseh. It's not clear when the Aseh of Zachar is, but in order so you shouldn't be in violation of the Lois Aseh of Lois Yishkach. So the Torah Tamima, in his commentary in Chumash, comes up with a very big Chiddush, which no one else really seems to say. He thinks that everyone makes such a big deal about Pasha Zachar. It's the only Kriya that we have Dairais. He's correct. That's what all the Balei HaTosfos tell us. Says the Torah Tamima, it's just not true. Bizman Azeh, it's not true. That was true in the times of Nahardo, when they used to finish Kol HaTorah Kula, Chumash HaMishnah, every 3 years. So then the last time you heard Pashas Kisetze was a long time ago. Taina the Torah Tamima, we just heard Pashas Kisetze in the summer. So let's start the clock from Pashas Kisetze. What's now what? 7 months? We're still in the time frame. We're good to go. We don't need to hear Zachar again this week. We have all the way till another Pashas Kisetze. So Taina the Torah Tamima, the son of the Aruch HaShulchan, he thinks that it's not really true. This Parsha Zachar that we all say is Dereis is not really true the way the calendar is set up for us. Because since we just read it in Kiseitze, we were Yotze the Mitzvah Dereis. Since we were Yotze the Mitzvah Dereis, we're in the gap of 12 months. We now have 12 months. So 12 months from the summer, we have to read it again. So you'll ask me, so why do we read it at all? Says the Torah to me, no, we read it, Midrabbanan at least, to have Amalek close to Haman. That, at least on a Midrabbanan. But from a Dereisa level, the Lav of Lois Yishkach, none of us would be transgressing if we skipped Parshas Zachar this week. Because we still have 6 months from the summer. That's the argument that the Torah to me makes. Now, the counter argument to the Torah Tamima's argument, I would say, is that would all be nice if when we heard Pashas Kisetzi in the summer, we were actually thinking Hinni Mukhan Muzumin to Mekayim Mitzvah Saseh Deraisa. We know that for Mitzvah Saseh Deraisa, Tzrichas Kavona. You have to have Kavona that you want to do a Mitzvah. So someone told me in some shuls that Taka make a clap, which might not be such a good idea. If you can make a clap when you read Pashas Kisetzi, everyone should have a mind to fulfill the Mitzvah Deraisa Pashas Zachar, then the Torah Tamima is 100% right. I would make a clap the other way. Everyone should have a mind not to be Yetzer the Mitzvah of Parshas Zachar. This way, when it comes Purim time, we could do it properly. But the Torah Tamima writes, in number four, he writes clearly that Bizman Azeh, because the way that it's set up that we read Kol HaTorah Kula, Chamish Chumash HaTorah every year, he doesn't really believe it's Deraisa. He thinks it's only a Minhag Chachamim. The whole Parshas Zachar, and we make all the Bar Mitzvah boys so crazy, and all the young boys who are 13, 14, we don't let them learn Parshas Zachar. He thinks that's not really true. He thinks it's not Deraisa, because since you read in a Parshas Zachar, say, we already fulfilled the Mitzvah Deraisa then.
Telling them on how you say the
what do you mean?
The Kriya.
So we're going to talk a little bit about how that Lomdus works. If I have a Chiv to read it, so how am I Yotze? So it's going to work with some form of a Shemei Ka'ina. So obviously, if I skipped Shul Pashas Kiseitze, it's 100%. So now I must hear Pashas Zachar this week. But if I'm assuming I was in Shul and I read it and I had a mind and I listened and the Balkaira had asked to be Moitzi me, so then the Aruch HaShulchan, the Torah Tamima seems to be correct. Then I was Yotze the Mitzvah. I'm good to go. So now when I'm going to read it this Shabbos, I'm just doing it to fulfill what he calls a Takonas Chachomim, to read Amalek close to Haman, which would only be a rabbinic at best, which means if that would be the case, you'd have a bar mitzvah boy who should be allowed to read it. Because the only reason why we don't let a bar mitzvah boy read it is because by deraisas, we're not saying on chazaka de rabba. Rabba's chazaka that every 13-year-old boy has shtei sairis. So for deraisas, we don't use that. But according to him, it's not a derais, it's only a derabon. This doesn't seem to be the widely accepted opinion, because most Pesachim assume not, but that's an interesting argument that the Torah Tamima does bring up about whether or not it's really Deraisa this upcoming Shabbos.
Because Deraisa is only once a year?
Correct. Based on the Skimar and Brachas of Lois Yishkach. Right. So that's just a little bit background on the whole concept. Now let's discuss women for a second. Are women really obligated on Parshas Zachar? So you have to ask yourself a couple of questions. First of all, it's an Aseh and a Lav. So we have a principle that women are always obligated in Lavin, except for those Lavin that the Mishnah and Kedusha in the first parak clearly excludes them from, which is the Isser of Baal Tashchis, meaning cutting off the payas, bal tzokin, cutting their beard, or bal tamal mesim. An ashes koyin or a bas koyin is allowed to go into a cemetery. Those are the only three lavim in the Torah that women are different than men. So if loisishkach is a lav, so they have to be obligated because of the lav. Okay, that's one argument. The other argument is, what about the assay of zachar? So what type of assay is it? Is it a mitzvah say shazman groma? Is it bound by time? L'chayre not. We just said that you can do it any time over 12 years. You can't get less time sensitive than that. So then it should be a mitzvah shazman groma. So then for sure women should be obligated. Based on the old-fashioned rules that we use to describe or to figure out what women are obligated in, one would have assumed women are obligated, either because it's a mitzvah say she'en hazman groma, and or because of the law. The law always makes them obligated. Or possibly such a svar like that, which we'll have to see. So comes along the Sefer HaChinuch in number 5, and the Sefer HaChinuch really gives us the bomb chiddush of the entire sugya. The Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Tof Reish Gimel, which is found in the end of Parshas Kisetze, he's describing the Mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek, not Mechias HaMalek, although it sounds like he is. We're talking about the Mitzvah of remembering. Says the Sefer HaChinuch the following words, V'nayheges Mitzvah Zu B'chol Mokom U'B'chol Zman. This Mitzvah is applicable wherever you live and whenever you live. It doesn't. You don't need a Beis HaMikdash, you don't need to live in Eretz Yisrael. Bizacharim, only by males. Why? Ki lahem la'atzer samochama. They're the ones who go to battle. V'nikmas ha'ayiv. V'loy noshim. Women are not the ones involved in taking their anger and their wrath against Amalek. That's not what women do. Therefore, they're not obligated in remembering Amalek. Therefore, he says, women are pata from Parsha Zoch. This is one of the Rishonim, and the Sefer HaChinuch was a Rishon. Who exactly was is still debatable, but he was definitely a Rishon. He says clearly women are exempt from Parsha Zoch. And the reason he gives is because they don't have a mitzvah to kill Amalek. Now again, those are two independent mitzvahs. He seems to be linking them together, which we need to discuss much more. That's what we need to talk about. This idea that presumably killing Amalek would be deemed a melchames mitzvah. So let's just read the end of the Chinuch. He writes, let's say a person never reads Parsha Zoch. Never does it. Says the Ma'asha Asa Amalek Yisrael, Batal Asay V'gam Oivir Halav. He does two things wrong. If a person doesn't show up to Parsha Zohar and never reads it, or even a Chumash maybe, or never talks about it, he doesn't know anything about Amalek, he's Oivir an Asay, Mevatal Asay, and he's also Oivir Halav. Okay, so according to the Sefer Chinuch, it's very clear women are exempt from Parsha Zohar, and his logic is because they don't have a mitzvah to kill Amalek. Comes along the Minchas Chinuch, well, people often confuse it, the Minchas Chinuch was an Achron. He was a later commentary on the Sefer Chinuch. He was an Achron. And he disagrees with the Sefer Chinuch. He asks some very compelling questions that need to be dealt with. Let's go through some of them. He starts off like this in number 6. The Sefer Chinuch exempted women from the mitzvahs. We're number 6. He writes, he says, well, how did the Sefer Chinuch get them out of the lav also? Right? Again, there's an assay and a lav. You want to exempt a lady from an assay? No, I can make it happen. But how do you get around the lav? We have this klal that women are obligated in all lavim unless those that are described by the Gemara and Kedushin. This is not one of them. So how do you justify that they're not obligated in the lav? That's horror number one.
Remember what they did?
Yeah.
And lishlo tishkach, you don't forget what they did?
Correct.
What's the difference?
So that's what we're going to see in a second. This is a very unique assay and a lav. This is a case where the lav is just to make sure you do the assay. So we'll see, there's a Ramban in Kedushin that says when you have a lav that's there just to be mechazik the assay, if you can get the women out of the assay, you get them out of the lav also. Sometimes we have certain mitzvahs where HaKadosh Baruch Hu really just wants to make sure we do something. So he gives us an assay. People say, assay, I do, I don't do, what happens? Where's my punishment? So we slap a lav to say, hey, you'll see a punishment. So this is the Ramban's argument is that's what happens over here. Maybe the Ramban doesn't say this, Rabbi Yosef in the Tshuva applies this Ramban. Then maybe the loy sishkach is just to make sure you do the assay of Zohar. So because the argument people say is, what's wrong if I don't do an assay? The people look at an assay as a check. So if I do that, say I get a check. I don't do it. No check. No check, no X. I break even. That's people's attitude. That's a very common attitude. People say, do I do anything wrong? So the answer is yes, because people don't know that when you mavatal assay, it might even be worse than a laugh. That's a different conversation we had once here before, that a bitl assay is a very bad thing. But there's two types of assays. Okay. But the point is, that's the way people sometimes work. So sometimes the Torah said, I'm not only going to give you an assay, I'm going to give you a laugh also. The example that the Ramban writes in Kedushin is, let's say, for the example of makkah, putting up a fence. The Torah gives an assay to put up a fence. So we know when someone's told that you should do this, we know how that works. When you slap them with a fine and you say, if you don't do this, you're going to get X and Y, all of a sudden people start to take it much more seriously. So Ramban in Kedushin does not say this by our mitzvah, but Rabbi Avadia Yosef in the Tshuva quotes from an Achron who wants to apply that same idea here also. Which, exactly, same type of an idea. That not that by Lashon they're going to say the law fixes it. Here it's what he calls it's mechazik the asay. Right? So here says Rabbi Avad Yosef, so if I can somehow get women out of the assay, so then I don't have to worry about the lav either. So that would answer the Minchas Chinuch's first point. But then he makes some other very important arguments. He writes, Ubi Rambam Einam Avorzeh. He says, the Rambam never says women are exempt. V'tzarech Raya Lifter Noshim. See, he's working backwards. The Minchas Chinuch's argument is, no Rishon who says that they're exempt assumes that they are obligated. One could have argued the other way around. All those Rishayim who don't say they're obligated assume they're exempt. This is a fair argument one could have. What do you take from the stimus of the Rishayim? From the fact that no Rishon explicitly said either way, does that mean the assumption is that they are or that they're not? For example, we're going to talk later tonight, hopefully, that the Mishnah Berurah never anywhere writes women have to hear Parshas Zachar or women are pater from Parshas Zachar. He doesn't discuss it. So where does that leave us? Does that lead us to conclude that he holds that they are pater because if they'd be chayiv, he'd write it? Or maybe not. Maybe he holds the chayiv and he didn't write that they're pater. Hard to know. This seems to be one of the arguments with Menachas Chinuch and Chinuch arguing. The Chinuch is saying, that doesn't mean anything to me. Menachas Chinuch says, that doesn't mean something to me. From the fact that no other Rishon besides for you clearly state the status of women, it's because they're like men and therefore they're going to be obligated. Then he says, again, Ubefrap amakam lav gam kein, who says, that's, now he gets to his main issue, what we call the lomdisha issue. Umashikosav kilahem lasis hamachom of loy noshim. What was the Sefer Chinuch's logic? Is that women are not even going to go to battle against the Molech. Says Menachas Chinuch, that's completely not true. He says, Be'emes milchemes mitzvah ha'kol yoitzim. Afilu kalam echupasikim bevor b'shasib rama perek zayinkan. Frank the Menachas Chinuch is just not factually correct. There's a Mefurish Mishnah Saita that says that if it's a Melchemes HaMitzvah, afilu kalo yoitzim echupasa, you mamash take the kalo away, you put her in a tank, and you send it to the front line. So how could you, the Sefer Chinuch, say women don't have to kill a Molech? A Molech is the example of a Melchemes HaMitzvah. So it's not true. So if your whole premise is that women are exempt from Zechir because they're exempt from the war, they are obligated in the war. That's the argument that he makes. Then he takes on the Sefer Chinuch's premise. The Sefer Chinuch made a premise that women don't have to go to war, therefore they don't have to read Parshas Zachar. Says the Menachas Chinuch, who told you that's the reason? He says, Gam mi omad b'soyed Hashem yisbarach im atam machmas anekoma. You're assuming that the reason for the mitzvah of Zechira is connected to the mitzvah of Mechia. So if you don't have Mechia, you don't have Zechira. Who said that's the pshat? Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu just wants you to remember the story, chazer it like you would a history story, and that's it. Move on. Nothing to do with killing. I don't want you to kill anyone. Stay home and talk about Amalek. And get fired up and get upset and get angry and stay home. Don't do anything. Who said, Menachas Chinuch's question is, who told the Chinuch that they're connected? Then he adds, if it's true that they're connected, what's going to happen to Yemais HaMashiach? After Mashiach comes and we wipe off no more Amalekim, would we still be reading Parshas Zachar? So according to the Sefer Chinuch, there's no reason to read it. If your whole reading is it connected to going to war, there's no one to go to battle with. However, says the Menachas Chinuch, according to me, it's an independent mitzvah. Mitzvahs are not as battle when Mashiach comes, so we would have the mitzvah. So this is a very compelling argument the Menachas Chinuch is making to the Taina of the Chinuch that women should be going to Melchemes HaMolech because it's a Melchemes HaMitzvah. So how's the Sefer Chinuch going to get around this? It's a Mefurish Mishnah. So there's a Radvaz on the side of the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim. The Radvaz and similar pshat found in the Rashash in Soita that they all deal with this question that we have on one hand a Mishnah that says Afilu Kali Yetz Mechupasei, yet we just don't have in our head that women go to war. So how do we make these two things work? So the Radvaz says like this: this is number 7 left side. V'chi derech hanoshem lasos mechoma. How can it be that you're going to take a nice kala who's about to get married, I'm not getting married, and take her and put her into a tank and send her to the front lines? Girls don't do that. They don't go to the army. The first place says, no, it doesn't mean you take the kala to the war. It means that the chosin goes to war. Once the chosin's not here, then all rules of Shavuot Baruch just fall away. That's what it means. Afilu kala yetsa mechupas means we take away from the chuppah. She no longer retains any status of sheva brachas or kala because the chasin's taken away. That's the first pshat. The second pshat, v'efsher, the melchemes mitzvah hanoshim hoyu misapekes maimu mazan lebaleim. V'chein haminig hayoyim. The second pshat, which is the Rashash, says that this doesn't mean we take her and give her a gun and say go fight. It means they're involved in the war effort. They'll do whatever they can do from safe at home where it's protected, and they're not going to go war. They don't have to kill anyone. Women don't have a mitzvah to kill a molech. So what does it mean they have to be involved? It means they have to sit there and they have to do whatever they can do to help the war effort. But to get a gun and go shoot a molechim, that's for sure not the case. So that would be a very geshmaka answer for the Sefer HaChinuch and how he justifies the Mishnah in Saita. Yeah, Pashtas. Pashtas, right. Pashtas, they would have to go.
18 years old or whatever you say would
eventually. Correct. Except.
Say that everybody's sputtered
until 18. The assumption would be is that everyone has to go to war unless those that are Rachalev or.
Not by, not by, not by.
That's right. So the Ramban in number 8 we mentioned before is where the Ramban comes up with this idea that if you can remove the aseh, you can remove the lav also. But how do you remove the aseh? Why don't women have an aseh to remember Amalek? So the Sefer Chinuch said because they don't have an aseh to kill Amalek. There's one big problem. The Sefer Chinuch himself writes that women have a mitzvah to wipe out the seven nations. So now it's very, very confusing. They don't have a mitzvah to kill Amalek, but they have a mitzvah to kill a Zayin Amim. What's the difference? If anything, we're convinced that Amalek is, you know, evil shall be evil. So why? How could it be women have a mitzvah? The Sefer Chinuch himself writes, women have a mitzvah to kill the Zayin Amim, but they don't have a mitzvah to kill Amalek. How do you justify this? So the Avnei Nezer, the Sochet Shavah, I was just reading about Avnei Nezer, something fascinating about Avnei Nezer. The Kotzke Rebbe gave him a bracha. It's an interesting story. That he's going to become a Gadol B'Torah. You know why he said? It's because his father, Avnei Nezer's father, was makbid to learn on Purim. Purim is one of the days when no one learns. There's no time to learn. So it's one of those days. So he said, that the Kotzke Rebbe said, the Kotzke ended up taking Avnei Nezer as a son-in-law. Avnei Nezer was a son-in-law by the Kotzke Rebbe. So the Kotzke Rebbe said he was a small boy. He said he's going to be a gadol because your father, because his father, it was makbid to learn Torah on Purim when no one else was learning, and that's why he was zeichet to have a son, Avnei Nezer. So it's a nice haftacha to remember this time of the year. They try to be kivei itim on Purim. This way, such unbelievable brachas that could happen. So the Sochet Shavah, Avnei Nezer, was really a litvasher. He didn't really want to become a Rebbe. He got kind of forced into the position. When he became a Rebbe, he made a condition that I can't take away from any of my regular learning. He said a shift for like 7 hours a day. So I don't know when he had time to be a Rebbe, I'm not sure. But he was a goyin. The Sochet Shavah was a goyin. He only had one son that we all know today as the Shem Shmuel. The Shem Shmuel wrote Svarim that we all know today. That was he was the son of the Sochet Shavah. So the Avnei Nezer has an unbelievable chiddush in this tshuva over here in Avnei Nezer. Two great chiddushim. The first chiddush is, he says, nope. Women don't have a mitzvah to kill Amalek, while they do have a mitzvah to kill Zayin Amim. What's the difference? So he comes up with the following chab. He says, women have a very unique mitzvah with Amalek. They don't have a mitzvah to just go to battle. If a man is walking down the street and he sees an Amalek and he knows he's Amalek, he has a mitzvah to shoot him right then and there on the spot. That's the halach. So he says women have that also, except women are different. A lady, if she's walking down the street and it's Shabbos, she has no mitzvah to kill Amalekim on Shabbos. It's not permissible to kill Amalekim on Shabbos. Men that go to war, they kill whatever's going on. War is war. But a lady who doesn't go to war, she has what we'd call a civilian type of obligation. That civilian obligation does not apply on Shabbos. If a lady sitting, walking down the street Friday night, she sees Amaleki, she's not allowed to kill him on Shabbos. Therefore, says the Avnei Nezer to Mitzvah Heshaz Magroma. It's bound by time. You can only do it 6 days a week. So if it's a Mitzvah Heshaz Magroma, it's bound by time. Women are exempt. So that's why, says the Sochet Shavah, they say, Fechinuch holds, women are exempt from killing Amalek, therefore they're exempt from remembering Amalek. It goes hand in hand. Aye, Frank the Sochet Shavah, what about the Zayin Amim? Why are they not mechuyev to kill a Zayin Amim on Shabbos? So he comes up with an interesting chab. He says, because why do we have a mitzvah to kill a Zayin Amim? It's not because Be'etzim we need to kill them. It's just we can't have them around. They're a danger to our society. So he calls that Melach HaShem Tzvich L'Gufo. You don't really want them dead. You just want them away from influencing your children. That's Melach HaShem Tzvich L'Gufo. Many Paiskim and Rishayim hold Melach HaShem Tzvich L'Gufo is not Asar on Shabbos. So if it says the Sochet Shavah, you're allowed to kill the Zayin Amim on Shabbos because of Melach HaShem Tzvich L'Gufo. But to kill Amalek, all you want with Amalek is you want him dead. You want his neshama removed from his body. That's Melach on Shabbos. That's not Melach HaShem Tzvich L'Gufo. That's right. Because get them out. Right, we don't need them dead. Amalek we want gone, removed from the face of the earth. The Zayin Amim, we just don't want them influencing us. So therefore, Zakta Avnei Nezer, that answers the kasha. The Zayin Amim is taka, women are mechuy, but they're not mechuy, killing Amalek. That's his answer. The Marcheshes was also an interesting, special yid in Klai. So the Marcheshes was, the Marcheshes lived, was a dying in Vilna till the Holocaust, and including the Holocaust. He filled in for Reb Chaim Moizer when Reb Chaim Moizer left during World War I. Just to imagine who we're talking about. He filled in for Reb Chaim Moizer, and then when Reb Chaim Moizer was nifted in 1941, he took over as the dying of Vilna, and he was killed by the Nazis sometime, no one really knows when or how, but he was killed by the Nazis, the Marcheshes. He was one of the great dayonim of Vilna's time. They say over there, Reb Soloveitchik used to go to Vilna to talk to him a lot. Reb Soloveitchik would go to Vilna, he would talk to Reb Chaim Moizer a lot. He would always say that when he'd go talk to Reb Chaim Moizer, he was always so depressed. He always thought he came up with this Gevaldik Chiddush. And he'd say to Reb Chaim Moizer, Reb Chaim Moizer would say, one second. He'd go to his Svarim to pull out a Sefer. It's right in the Sefer. Every Chiddush that Reb Soloveitchik would sweat over to be Mechadish, he told Reb Chaim Moizer, I saw that in the Sefer already. No big Chiddushim. I saw it here. So he always said he used to walk away with a little bit of Chalisha Sadas when he'd go talk to Reb Chaim Moizer. But he would go spend a lot of time talking to Reb Chaim Moizer. And the Marcheshes, who lived in Vilna, he would talk to him as well. So the Machesh comes up with his own chap. He says like this, that women have a mitzvah to kill Zayin Amim, but not to kill Amalek. What's the difference? He says because killing Zayin Amim was a mitzvah, not just remove them, but it was a mitzvah in order to be Kovish Eretz Yisrael. In order to take over Eretz Yisrael properly, we have to get rid of the Zayin Amim. Therefore, he says that mitzvah, women have a mitzvah to Kivish Eretz Yisrael. As we spoke about once before, women have a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Gemara and Ksubis. So since women have a mitzvah in Kibush Eretz Yisrael, so they have to remove the Zayin Amim, because that's a step in the process of Kibush Eretz Yisrael. As opposed to killing Amalek, it was after Kibush Eretz Yisrael. It was a separate mitzvah. It was after we settled, we removed everyone else, now we attacked Amalekim. That women don't have. Therefore, he says, women taka are not mechuyiv in killing Amalek, although they're mechuyiv in killing the Zayin Amim. Therefore, it returns to being a mitzvah shazman grama. It's a mitzvah shazman grama. Women are exempt. And then you'll add on what we said earlier. If they're exempt from Naseh, they're exempt from the lav as well. That's the way the Macheshes gets around the issue. Reb Salvechik himself in Harei Kedem is quoting a different reason to why he thinks women are exempt from killing Amalek. And this is a very interesting chiddush. We spoke about this at length last year before Purim on page 2. In number 13, he says, based on a Ramban, the Ramban quotes a Sifro who says, how are we mekayim zocher? The way we're really mekayim zocher is not sitting around and telling stories about Amalek. The way we're mekayim is by learning sugyas, learning Torah. That's how you mekayim remembering Amalek. So it says with Salvechik that if that's the pshat, if the ikar kiyum of zocher is by learning Torah, we know women are exempt from learning Torah. Therefore, says with Salvechik, if women are exempt from learning Torah, they're likewise exempt from remembering Amalek. If they're exempt from remembering Amalek, so then they have no mitzvah to hear Parsha Zachar. That was Rav Salavechik's angle to explain why women don't have a mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. So the way we're holding right now, we have a machlokes between the Minchas Chinuch and the Sefer HaChinuch, whether or not women have an obligation. The premise of the Sefer HaChinuch is unique, because he assumes that women don't have to go to battle, and because they don't have to go to battle, that's why they don't have a mitzvah of Zechira. One of the Minchas Chinuch's questions were, that who said the two things are Talazeh Bezeh? The Sefer HaChinuch learned in a very lumdish way that the mitzvah of remembering Amalek is not just remember and sit at home and talk about it. It's remember and act upon that anger when you are allowed to. That's how the Sefer HaChinuch understood Zechira. It wasn't just remember a story and just, you know, say over stories. It's remember, and when you'll be able to take that nekama, act on it. Therefore, said the Sefer HaChinuch, since women don't have the second part of that mitzvah, they don't have the first part of the mitzvah. So according to him, it comes at a very lomdish mitzvah. It's not just remember a historical event, just to remember and talk about, like what we do today. When things happen in the world, we just talk about them. We don't really do much about it. We talk about it. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, no, it's not just to talk. It's talk about, get really fired up, and when you're able to go out and kill. So since women don't have the go out and kill part, they don't have the remember part either. That's how the Sefer HaChinuch understood it. Now, is there any raya to the Sefer HaChinuch? So I believe I found an interesting raya from a Kaf HaChayim. The Kaf HaChayim asked a very basic question that should bother all of us every year in Parsha Zachar. Why is there no bracha on Kriyas Parsha Zachar? Every mitzvah that we do has a bracha, whether it be Deraisa or Derabban. Why does this not have a bracha? Even if you hold like the Torah to me, it's only Derabban. Fine, Naniach, which is probably not true. So what? Why is there no bracha? Asher Kedishonu B'mitzvah Yisimanu Liskar Es Amalek. Why is there no such bracha? So the Kaf HaChayim gives a very interesting answer, number 14. The Kaf HaChayim says, why is there no bracha? We don't make brachas on destroying things. Even if we're destroying the worst of the worst, Amalek was the worst breed in the world. We still don't make a bracha. Why? Because since we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want Klai Yisrael saying Shira at Kriyas Yam Suf, although it was a major event in Jewish history, so you see, says the Kaf HaChayim, that we're not allowed to make brachas over destruction. So when I read this Kaf HaChayim, my mamash don't understand what he's talking about. Who's discussing anything about destruction? My bracha is on a story. I want to reread the story in history about this evil guy named Amalek who wanted to destroy us. Who's destroying anyone? I'm not destroying anyone. I'm reading a story like I'd read a history book, and the Torah gave me a mitzvah to read a history book.
We do make a bracha on the Megillah.
So. We do make, right? We're allowed to remember events. Why does the Kaf HaChayim say this is called a bracha on destroying? If you learn that they say v'chinuch, it's kishmak. Because it's not just a bracha on remembering. The mitzvah is not just to remember what happened. It's remember, get fired up, and go out when you're allowed to. No. We don't make brachas on things that are connected to killing people. That we don't do. So if you understand like the Sefer HaChinuch, then this Kaf HaChayim makes much more sense. If you understand that there's two independent mitzvahs, so this Kaf HaChayim is very hard to understand. Why can't I make a bracha on remembering? The remembering is not dangerous. The remembering part is not violent. The remembering is just what happened that I should make a bracha. But if you connect the two as the Sefer HaChinuch does, then I understand much better why there's no bracha. There's a tshuva from Reb Nosson Gestetner in Lahiris Nosson, where he also addresses this question. Why is there no bracha on this mitzvah? And he quotes a tshuva Sarajba. The tshuva Sarajba asks a different question. Why is there no bracha on Misas Bezdin? Right? Nebuch, sometimes Bezdin has to do it. Says in the Torah. Why doesn't Bezdin make a bracha every single time they kill someone? So the Rajbi writes in number 16, he quotes it in the tshuva from Reb Nosson Gestetner. He says, because we don't make a bracha on the fish Hashem is barachas al b'yosef. Because Baruch Hu cares about his creation. Even those people that are Jewish, that are doing bad things that you have to kill, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want it. He doesn't want us making a brach. So therefore says, Maram Shik, and Ibn Sigistan, ah, that's the same thing for Amalek. Although we have to kill Amalek, and that's what Hashem wants us to do, we can't make a brach on it. Says Ibn Sigistan, it's not such a good comparison. First of all, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to have to kill a nice, good Jewish boy. But he sinned, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to kill him. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu really doesn't want to. Says Ibn Sigistan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants to kill Amalek. It's a different feeling. He says, it's not like HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't really want us to kill Amalek. No, Hashem wants us to kill Amalek. Hashem would rather not kill this guy who did an Aveira. He has to because we have rules and regulations. But really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not want to kill him. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants to kill Amalek. So therefore, says Ibn Sigistan, it's a faulty comparison. Secondly, he says, the Kavachayim is not true. The Kavachayim brought me a ray from a Gemara that you don't say halal. Halal and bracha are very different. Halal is a much higher level of expression of simcha. That you're right. Maybe the Gemara is correct. That you don't express joy when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Briyim are dying. But that means you can't make a bracha? That's not the same playing field. A bracha is not the same excitement and joy as halal.
You make bracha on tzedakah din.
Right. Many times we make brachas on sad occurrences. So the Nosek Stendhal disagrees with the premise. So he comes up with his own pshat. Very interesting pshat. Why is there no bracha on Parshas Zachar? Which again, is a question that I didn't see too many people talking about. Why is, so he says, the reason why we make a bracha is just to get us in the right mode. Why do we make brachas? We make brachas in order to ensure we have kavanah. If I just do the act without preparation, this is why many people were against the L'Shem Yichud. Right? This is why the Chassam Sofer writes a very strong tshuva, where he thinks there's no need, the Chassam Sofer, the Nebuidum, one of the earlier Achrenim, we don't need L'Shem Yichud. What's L'Shem Yichud? Ge'ilim v'chaven? Yeah, Chazal did that. It's called a bracha. So I don't need another one. The idea of a bracha was to make sure people are mechaven. So it says Ibn Nosson Gestetner, when you read Parsha Zohar, it's an automatic experience. I mean, how can you not be mechaven to hear? You heard a story. It's an automatic experience. When something is an automatic, no other else you can do, it automatically doesn't need a bracha. Okay, that's his answer. It's interesting, I put over here on the sheet number 17 from Rabbi Yashiv holds that when the Baal Aliyah gets the Aliyah for Parshas Zachar, he should have in mind his bracha should be like a Birchas HaMitzvah. Big chiddush from Rabbi Yashiv, that when a guy gets the Aliyah and he makes the Asher Baruch Abanu, he should have in mind that Asher Baruch Abanu should somehow, some way, be functioning as also as a Birchas HaMitzvah. Maybe that's why, because since it's you can't make a bracha and have a mitzvah, that would also be very nice to explain why you don't make a bracha. Okay, so halacha l'maisa. Okay, we talked a little on this, but how does this all play out? Should women go here parshas zachar or not? So the answer is it's a machlokes between the sefer achinuch and the minchas chinuch. Okay, sefer achinuch says they're not, minchas chinuch says they're not. We heard both arguments and we disputed and disproved and argued, but where does that leave halacha l'maisa? So I think there's another point that needs to be discussed over here. There's a mechaber in Shulchan Aruch in Mitzvah Reish Pei. The mechaber writes the following: Yesh Oimrim Sheparshas Zachar Parshas Parah Adu Mechayavim Nekrasa Midrais. He calls it Yesh Oimrim that Parshas Zachar and Parah are both Midrais. Therefore, says the Shulchan Aruch, Bnei Yishevum Sheim Lehem Minyan. If you live in a far, far out community, we don't normally get a minyan on a regular Shabbos, so you got to make a trip. Tzrichim Lavoi Lamakim Sheyesh Minyan B'Shabbos Alol. So twice a year, you got to make a trip, and you got to make a journey to a city where there is a minyan. Why? To hear Zachar and Parah. What do you mean? Why can't I just hear Zachar by myself? I'll take out a Chumash, I'll take out a Sefer Torah, and I'll read it. So the Shulchan Aruch seems to be of the opinion, at least L'Chumrah, you need to have a minyan for Parshas Zachar and Parshas Parah. Okay. Says the Ramah, V'imiyev shalem lovoy, let's say it's not feasible, I can't pack up the family and travel. Try to read it, B'nigun and Traf. Okay. Says the Mishnah Berurah number 19, something very important. Where do we get this idea of Parsha Zachar? The Chsiv Zachar es Asher Asa. The Gamina B'Gemara the High Zachar Hainu Ba'Amir Mitecha Sefer Davka. V'Alkein. This is what every Gabe announces in every Shul. Alkein. Tzarech HaKoyri L'Chava Noiti Kol HaShemim. When the Ba'Koyri reads, what does it do for me? Where is my Zachar B'Tech Sefer? The answer is Shemei Koinim. So therefore says the Mishnah Berurah, every Ba'Koyri has to have in mind that he's being made to the people. The Gam HaShemim Tzarechim L'Chava Noitis. And those that are listening have to have in mind they're about to hear Parshas Zachar, which is the fulfillment of a mitzvah derech. Okay.
But if he fulfills, let's say he's a Bakir every week, he reads in Kitzei, so
Yeah, but I also heard Niki say, so I'm in the same boat. We're equal. The better question is, let's say he read it in the minyan before. So now he's just being als arvus, he could be moitzimi. That would work anyways. Right. Now the Mishnah Berurah here brings down a very important machloikis achronim. I'm sorry, a very important machloikis magen avraham and chumas hadeshim, which is one's a rishon, one's an achron, how exactly that works. But a very interesting shaila as follows. What happens if you have a fellow who can't make it in for Pasha Zachar? It's just not feasible. He can't pack up the family for Pasha Zachar. So now the question is, should he come to town for Purim? Let him come to town for Purim. And once he's in town for Purim, he'll stick around and he'll hear Kriyas HaTorah of Purim morning. What's Kriyas HaTorah of Purim morning? Bishalach. The other place where the Torah tells us the story of Amalek. Is that better or is it more kedai that he misses Megillah of Betzibur and comes in for just Parsha Zach? Says the Mr. Brewer, number 20, the following shayla. In the middle, he writes, Avla Magen Avram, Kosech Mesedeshin. That you gotta hear Pasha Zach with a minion. That's more important than hearing Megillah. So you can only come in once, Paschal Shemes Edeshin, come in for Pasha Zachar, miss Megillah Betzibur. Says the Magen Avram, Avala Magen Avram, Mitzadei de Toiv Yoisi Shiavai Lamokim Shekarina Megillah Betzibur. Nope. Better come in your one trip, you only have one ticket, come in for Purim. Ube Pasha Zachar Yotzi al Piat Chak Bemashi Yishma Akri Bepurim Pasha Zavi Amalek. And you'll hear Pasha Zachar in Bishalach. That's the Kriya for Purim morning. And you'll be, that's also the story of Amalek. That's also good. The Truma Sedeshin says that's not a viable option. Only one ticket, you got to come for Pasha Zachar on Shabbos. Says the Magen Avraham, no, one ticket, come Purim. You'll kill two birds with one stone. You'll hear Megillah B'tzibur, you'll hear Pasha B'shalach, Purim morning. Rules the Mishnah Berurah, Avalani is Daiti, Iker Dina Shal Magen Avraham Tzarechin. Says the Mishnah Berurah, I personally have a difficult time understanding the Magen Avraham. Why? Because how can you be Yotze with reading in Bishalach? Now, what's wrong with reading in Bishalach? What is so different between the Bishalach reading and the Kisetzi reading? So I put over here number 21, the Bishalach reading. It seems pretty similar. It tells us the whole story. Amalek came, he attacked us, we have to remember. There's one slight difference. In Parshas Bishalach, it says, Ki mocha emche, I, Hashem, will destroy them. Parshas Kisetze, it says, you should destroy. So what's the big difference? This is exactly the machloikis that we mentioned earlier. If you understand that the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek is connected to the mitzvah of Mechiras HaMalek, you can't be yotze in Parshas Bishalach. In Parshas Bishalach, there's absolutely no mention of you killing Amalek. So how can you be yotze the mitzvah? As opposed to if you hold that the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek is an independent mitzvah of remembering the story, so I can remember in the Parshas Bishalach, it's the same detail. So this machloikis Magen Avraham and Shumas Hadeshin should be totally the machloikis Menachas Chinuch and the Sefer HaChinuch. Is Zechir an independent mitzvah, or is it a mitzvah mitla tali? So for a few years I was so excited that I was Mechamet to this Shtekel Torah. I told you, sorry, Salvechik said it already. Okay, Mechamet to him, I thought it was my own Shtekel Torah. He says it before, it's like this in Harei Kedem, that this is what the machloikis is tali. The machloikis between the Magen Avraham and the Shumas Hadeshin, to whether or not you can be Yaitz and Pashas Mishalach, is because Pashas Mishalach is missing one element, the you. That you have to kill Amalek. So you ask me, why is that important? Because according to the Sefer Chinuch, that's half of the mitzvah. They go hand in hand. So if the Torah doesn't mention that, you can't be Yitzhak. If my Shtikl Torah is correct, so if the Mr. Brewer says, I don't pass like the Magen Avraham, and that's what the Mr. Brewer argued, so then where does the Mr. Brewer hold with regard to whether or not women are obligated to Potter? The Mr. Brewer holds he can't be Yitzhak B'Shalach. Why can't you be Yitzhak B'Shalach? Because B'Shalach doesn't have you have to kill. Because he holds like the Sefer HaChinuch, which would then lead that Mr. Brewer held like the Sefer HaChinuch, that women are potter from Parashat Zachar, and which is Lishitasi, that's why the Mr. Brewer doesn't write anywhere the women have to hear Parashat Zachar, because they don't have to. Because the Mr. Brewer really holds like the Shumas Hadeshin, who really holds like the Sefer HaChinuch, that women are potter. That's the way I would sell the argument that women are potter from Parashat Zachar. Now, it's interesting.
I don't say the mitzvah by just having in mind the Mechiyah and the Sefirah Samalik. Do I have to hear it from the Torah?
Yes.
Kind of,
yeah, yes. Pashtus. We'll see, maybe not. For example, for women, many chachamim suggest for women, let them open a chumash and read, and they'll be yaitz
chalashitas. You have to at a minimum read.
Right, correct. The Gemara says mefurish, it's got to be the safe. Yeah, 100%. It's got to be the safe. Now, it's interesting, Shmuel Kamenetsky, although the Mishnah Berurah seemed to be very skeptical of the Magen Avraham, Shmuel Kamenetsky passes halacha l'maaseh like this Magen Avraham. And he talks about a seer. Let's say a guy wakes up this Shabbos, and he's atzala, doctor, whatever the case is, he missed Parshas Zachar, and there's no second kriya for women, whatever it is, he wakes up Matzah Shabbos. What should he do now? So he says, well, he talks about a more extreme case. Guy wakes up 4 o'clock in the afternoon to hear Parshas Zachar. He can either go hear it with the women, or he can hear it Purim Day. So we would have thought, don't wait for Purim Day. Purim Day is questionable. So Shmuel Kamenetsky writes over here, number 22, in Kevitz Halachas, he says, no, better than hearing it with the women, go hear it Purim morning, like the Magen Avraham. Aye, what do you mean? I thought the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah, and the Aruch HaShulchan were both very skeptical of the Magen Avraham. Why would he rule like the Magen Avraham? So he writes in the bottom that there's a Ramban. That the way the Ramban learned Parshas Mishal, Chimoche Emche, is really going back on Klal Yisrael. So it's really going back on Klal Yisrael, so it's okay also. So he taka paskas, Alach Lamaisa, to justify that. Again, simple reading of the Pasuk, that's not the way you read the Torah. You read Hashem is talking, not the Bnei Yisrael. That's the way he ruled. Okay? There's a very famous tshuva where everyone quotes from Nosson Adler. The Binyan Tzion, Yaakov Ettlinger, has a tshuva, where he discusses our women obligated to Parshas Zachar, and he quotes this very famous statement that everyone knows from Reb Nosson Adler. That Reb Nosson Adler was very makbid that women go hear Parshas Zachar. Okay, Reb Nosson Adler. Now, we've been spending the last few weeks talking about Reb Nosson Adler. Reb Nosson Adler, with Chas V'Shalom not to be mevazen, had some unique hanhogas that were not neskabel in Klal Yisrael. One of them were that the Reb Nosson Adler davened Nusach Svardi in a Hungarian shul with no other Svardim in town. That was what Reb Nosson Adler did. Reb Nosson Adler also duchened every single day. No one else did that. None of his Talmidim did that. He was consistent. The problem was Reb Nosson Adler was a Yekka. He was born in Germany. Reb Nosson Adler had some unique minhagim that he did, as Reb Eliashiv said, but were not niskabel by his Talmidim and later Davis. So everyone says, yeah, women had to come here by himself because Reb Nosson Adler said so. Okay, I'm not Chas V'Shalom. Nosson Adler was a huge gadol. The way they referred to him is unbelievable terms. They called him the Kain HaGadol. That's what Nosson Adler's term. It was a huge gadol. But not all of his anhagas were niskabel in later generations. So yes, Nosson Adler was very pro women going to hear Parshas Zachar. I'm not going to deny it. There's no question. But does that mean that becomes Klal Yisrael's new minhag? For example, if you look at number 24, we'll just switch gears a little bit. We'll talk about the Chassidim. The Divrei Chaim, the Sanzer Rebbe, has a tshuva where he writes, V'kriyas arba parshas, the arba parshas noshim p'turis. We're not even batting an eyelash. The Sanzer Rebbe assumes for davar parshat that women are potter from Parshas Zachar. Okay, so we have machlokes achrayim. The Minchas Alada has a tshuva. We also discussed it, but just because we're short on time, we'll try to get to the ikur, the halacha lemaisa. The Chazanish is quoted by many people, mainly by his nephew Reb Chaim Kanevsky in a couple different svarim. The one I took over in 26 is a sefer called Taima Dekra. That's Reb Chaim Kanevsky's sefer on Chumash. In the back of Reb Chaim Kanevsky's sefer on Chumash, he quotes various minhagim he picked up from his uncle, and he writes, "Ein noshim chayevus l'shmaya parshas Zachar." The Chazanish said very clearly, women do not have to hear Parshas Zachar. Who do like the Tshuvas Binyan Tzion, Achadoshas? Okay, not like the Tshuvas Binyan Tzion. In number 27, in the Sefer Kevitz Halachas, he quotes from Reb Yaakov Forsheimer, Paisig and Lakewood, who said, Omar, Shesham v'pi Baal Igris Moshe. Reb Yaakov Forsheimer said he heard from Reb Moshe, Shenoshim Einan Chayeves B'Parshas Zachar. That women are not obligated in Parshas Zachar. Okay. Now, I found another sefer called Alichas Bas Yisrael, a very interesting sefer, Regish Maka sefer, all about halachas for women. So in a footnote there, he writes the following statement. So, simply you read this, you say, oh, it's a stira on Rav Moshe. It's not a stira. Rav Moshe didn't say they have to. Rav Moshe said they should go. Rather, they should go. If a person has a chance to do a mitzvah, of course they should do it. Are they obligated? Of course Rav Moshe never held they were obligated. Again, as I always tell this to people when they ask me this shayla, if you're talking about a 16, 17-year-old girl who's not doing anything else really on a Shabbos morning, why shouldn't she go? To get a mitzvah? Of course she should go. But the question is, we're talking about more complicated shaylas. We have people, let's say you have someone elderly that are not feeling well, it's hard for them to get out of the house, or women with a lot of kids and it's complicated to work out babysitting. Do they have to? Of course not. Should they? Why not? If you could, they should. But again, there's two separate conversations taking place over here. There's should you versus do you have to. Do you have to? I think we have to be honest and say, no, you don't have to. Should you? Why not? Person can get a mitzvah, sasei avada, they should. Why shouldn't you have a chance? So in number 29, they quote from Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky, where he weighed in, and he read to this. Omnam, ha'idna kvar nogu kol anoshim l'shmai kriyas Parshas Zachar b'sefer Torah Kosh. Today all women go hear Parshas Zachar. That's not a halacha, that's yediyah ba'alma, it's true. I've heard from many people that this is an American chiddush. In Europe, this was not the case. The women did not flood the shuls, nor was there ever a second kriyah for women in Europe. This was more of an American experience. But that's the custom today. We all know women come to hear. However, says Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky, Ulechein, Isha shebi chilosa lelechos abesek nezes, if she could, avada she should come. Toiv shetasekein k'dei lefesh min atzibur. I would say more than that. She should come to get a mitzvah. It's an easy mitzvah. Achin, however, ain't tzricha l'treach b'zekal. She doesn't have to make herself crazy, which many women do today with babysitting and elderly, whatever the case may be. I know a woman told me she was sick and she couldn't get out of bed. She wanted to come to hear Parshas Zachar. I said, with all due respect, I don't think you're obligated. I think you can. You don't have to. But that was the opinion. That's the opinion of Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky. Let's just round out Reb Avad Yosef and Yakut Yosef. He weighs in as well. And Yakut Yosef, they quote, again, Reb Avad has a very lengthy tshuva in Yechav Adas. I don't have Yechav Adas, and it's not on Eitzar Chachma, so I couldn't put it on the page. But Yakut Yosef, they repeat much of what Reb Avad holds. This is from his son. And he writes at the end, V'nachoin, even though most of them hold a potter, mikomakum roi v'nachon shenoshim sheicheres lov lezus hanoshim shabesek nesim shabes zocher. Why shouldn't they? Yishtad lasses kain. They should try. Why do you have to lose? But v'amekilas, those who can't, yesh almi sheismchu. They have who to rely on. Now, Rabbi Yashiv is quoted in number 31 with an interesting chiddush. Let's say you have a girl who is single. So every year since she was 12, she comes to her pasha zocher. Then she gets married and life gets more complicated. So she has to be mat the neder. Is this considered an hoga toiv that she needs a taras adam? So Rabbi Yashiv says yes. This might be an eder and she needs a taras adam. However, the taras adam that she didn't have Rosh Hashanah is good enough. So she's okay. She doesn't have to be mat an eder because the taras adam that she didn't have Rosh Hashanah was okay. Again, you don't have too much to lose by being mat an eder. It's a pretty quick. Yeah, Shanakti, right. But this is always what we use. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman did that also when we talked about Maisik Safim. He said that you could do that also. Rabbi Moshe Shtermich has an interesting chap in the tshuva where he wants to say that even Rabbi Nassim Adler would never tell women that they have to come to shul. I, Reb Nassim Adler. He said, Reb Nassim Adler told women that they should say Parsha Zachar. Telling a woman in the mid-1800s to read Parsha Zachar was basically saying a Baruch HaVatal. What do you want? She doesn't know how to read it. So she came to shul to hear it. Today, Baruch Hashem, our girls are very educated. They can open a Chumash and read it. So he thinks even Reb Nassim Adler would tell you, just stay home and read it from a Chumash. So even Reb Nassim Adler, who everyone is Soymich on to that they're obligated, says, Moshe Shtermich, maybe not. Maybe let them read it from a chumash. Or Moshe Shtermich writes in two places, both in Shuvos Van Hagis and in Ma'idim Zmanim. He writes, he thinks the proper thing is that they should read it from a chumash. Well, where does that chiyuv come from?
I don't know.
That's the argument. The argument is where exactly does the chiyuv come from? And even if a chum, it probably would only be for men that have a din tzibur. Women don't have a din tzibur, he thinks. A man would have a chiyuv tzibur. What about, so I think, again, I'd like to believe we can all agree that it's a pretty hard sell that women are obligated. Okay.
The only tzibur for everybody, though,
because of the Sefer HaChinuch, right?
No.
Unless you hold like the Avnei Nezer, that's because it's a mitzvah she'en has magrama. Either Avnei Nezer or the Macheshes. You know, every year I go through this with my wife, and she tells me she has to go hear Pasha Zachar. I told her, you don't have to go hear Pasha Zachar. So, Grada recently, she's been coming on my side of things. She's starting to turn to my side, that women are not obligated to hear Pasha Zachar. After a while, it gets more complicated, so all of a sudden now she's... You know, people mamish, this is one of the most popular shells this time of year. And women, I tell them that, they mamish think I'm a koifer, be'ikr, in all Judaism. What? I don't have the Pasha Zachar? What are you talking about? You know, I don't know. That's what I think the answer is. Now, what about the second kriya for women?
Yeah.
That's even more controversial. So they quoted me from Chaim Kanievsky, where they asked him, what about the second minya for women? He writes, me'ikr adin ein chiyuv. You don't have to, because again, they're not obligated. Avalim ratza efshe, but you could. Rabbi Yashiv took a much stronger stand. Rabbi Yashiv held, you should not have a second kriya for women unless you have 10 men who never heard it. Which never happens in most of our shuls. We have it anyways. They quote number 34 from Rav Moshe, that the Rav Moshe held, She'ein lasis kriya miyuchedes lanoshim. You should not have a second separate reading for women. Most yeshivas do not have a second kriya for women. This is more of a shul experience. Many shuls do it. What I saw, one of the Rabbanim in Lakewood suggested is they actually have the kriya by mincha. Because this way you're not taking out a sefer Torah, shalal tzarech. So I've seen some people do is they'll be goyil, they'll by mincha, they'll read it over there by mincha. But me'ikar adin, the right thing would really be is that if women want to come here, they should come here bizmanai. But just one last nekuda, there's a machoikas achrein, if you have to understand what the parsha zachar. So we schlepped the women to come, they run around, they're rum chasing, and they sit and you ask them, what did you read? I read parsha zachar. What was parsha zachar? I don't know. Whatever the balkari read. So that's a machoikas achrein, were you even yaitse? You have to understand what the story is. Now, you don't have to know every single word of Asher Korcha, Baderech, Kol Anecha Shalom, what all those words mean, because as Moshe Steinberg says, most yeshiva guys don't know what all those words mean, because Machlokes Yisrael Shaydim, how to learn the pasuk. But at least understanding the concept, that I don't find too many shuls make a clap at the beam and say, when I was in charge of a minyan, I used to do this. I used to make a clap and say, everyone should have in mind that we're reading Parsha Zachar, which tells us the story of the evil of Amalek and the mitzvah to eradicate him, and remember that. At least have an idea. If you're going to show up, after all the time and energy you put in to be there, make sure you can fulfill the mitzvah on the highest level. How much of it do you have to read? So, Shlomo Zalman and as the Reb Yaakov, they held that if you missed parts of it, it's okay. As long as you get the basic idea of it. A guy once came to me and said, my wife ran and she caught the last three words of Parsha Zachar. Was she Yotze? I said, she wasn't obligated. It's not the game. She wasn't obligated. But Lo Yitzur, according to the Zachar, we have to at least catch what they call the Iker Inyan of Parsha Zachar.